Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Brethren, I want to talk to you about the same thing that I always talk about, how important the Word of God is to us. Brethren, it is our life. You know, we think about these days and these times, and brethren, it's all about faith now. And our faith must be based on God said so. And any other kind of faith will not stand in this coming storm. And the just shall live by faith. And when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in the earth? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It always comes back to that. It all fits together, brethren. And it is just so important for us to hide that word up in our heart. You just cannot overstate it. I know you guys may get tired of me saying it, but we've got to go to the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. And it's so sad the way that you see people poofing in and out of here whenever the Word is going forth. Man, you want to clear the room? Just put on Alexander Scorby with the King James Version Scripture. But the words of God, if we lay them up and put them in our heart, then we're going to live. We're going to have faith. And we need to keep His law as the apple of our eye. We write His words on the table of our heart. And these are the things that keep us in the storms. These are the things that keep us on the right track. We have to keep this Word of God. We must choose this Word of God. And you and I have a choice to put the Word of God in our heart. And we have to keep this Word of God flowing in our life. And if we do not make the choice to read the Word of God, then we're not going to have the time. On the other hand, we can do other things, watch television. It's a choice. And if you make the wrong choice of not reading the Word of God, you're going to end up feeling defiled. You're going to say, man, this is an evil world we're living in because you've made the wrong choice. You see, if we choose the Word of God, we're going to be building up our faith. And we have to make that choice to keep the Word of God. And that means we have to have this recognition of how valuable and precious this Word of God is to set us free and to keep us free. We can't let the Word of God depart from our eyes, because the Word of God is life to those that find it, and health to all our flesh. The Word of God keeps our heart with diligence, and that diligence is almost directly proportional to the diligence that we give to reading and studying His Word. And that's what's so great about being able to come together like this with other brethren in whom we know there is this regard for the Word of God, and that Word of God is giving life. That Word of God comes alive in these other brethren by the Spirit of truth and holiness. They've got the right teacher. We can know if we're rightly dividing the word of truth, because these other brethren will give the confirmation or the judgment, whatever it takes. And it's a rare opportunity we have to come together like this. And we don't know how much longer we're going to have this kind of an opportunity. But the words of God truly are life to those that find them. But you have to make the choice. You have to value them. And we are confident of this very thing, that Christ, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, whose name is called the Word of God, He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. Hallelujah. And that day isn't far down the road now. And we know that God has started working on us, and we are confident that God, who started this good work in us, will continue it until the Lord returns. And we know we're not there yet. We don't arrive until we get there. But we're not where we used to be, are we? And we're not what we're going to be, but thank God we're not what we were. And we got to do this one thing that Wally and Mark are so good at, this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are past. We need to press on toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And none of us have arrived yet. And believers are acceptable in the sight of God, not because we live so perfectly, but because of the blood of Yeshua. Because we value and treasure His Word. But as we learn more of the Word, we make progress because our faith is growing. Faith is to know what God said and to walk in it. To know what God said and not walk in it is rebellion. But if we want our faith to grow, it means we got to hear the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's no other way. And Paul told Timothy, he said, hold fast that form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, Messiah Yeshua. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Paul said, Timmy, you heard the pattern of sound words from me. You've heard some good sermons. And if that is so, then keep it by the Holy Spirit. And God commits things to us. And there are times, and I'm sure this happens to you, there's times that I read the Bible and I get new insights. Revelation comes. And brother, that is a wonderful thing when real, genuine revelation comes to you. Treasure it. Don't take it lightly when you get a revelation. And see, this is another thing that's so wonderful about being able to come together like this. Because if one of us gets a revelation, we all get it. And brethren, this revelation is important. You know, that's what kept Paul in the storms that he went through. Man, he went through some stuff. But it was that revelation that he had from God which kept him hanging in there. And that's what keeps me hanging in there a lot of times. And I'll tell you, some of you guys are tremendous encouragements. But there are times when y'all can't be there. And it's that revelation that no matter what all these people say, and boy, oh boy, you ought to get to hear some of the things I get to hear. Some of the things that people say, because I'm telling you, they hate this word. Oh yeah, they do. They don't love it like you do. Oh, brother, you are so rare in this crooked and perverse generation. You are so rare with this genuine love for God that you have. You ought to see this stuff comes in. You know, I bless God for it. You know, rejoice and be exceeding glad when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. That's the key. And a lot of times, they may not know how false it is, but I'll tell you what, there's a lot of stuff that is said falsely. And if it is said falsely, and you know it's said falsely, then you can rejoice. And we do rejoice. Matthew 5, 11, and 12, all of us need to have that committed to memory in these days. But we have to keep this Word of God. And we treasure it. We lay it up as a treasure within us. And that means we esteem it highly. We consider it very valuable. And when the Lord puts these words in us, we've got something of tremendous value. It is a treasure to us. And brethren, I'm just excited about being able to come together and fellowship with you guys about the Word. Now, another thing that's so important about the Word, it's our only offensive weapon. It's the only offensive weapon that we have in this tremendous spiritual warfare that we're in. And we always look to Yeshua. He's our example. He had this Word in his heart. And he had previously taken this Word and put this treasure in the soil of his heart. And what did he do when he was attacked by the adversary? When Satan came at him head on. You know what he did. He brought forth the treasure and he ran the devil off with, it is written, it is written, it is written. But you see, he would not have been able to run that devil off if he had not previously put that treasure in his heart. Yes, he was the Word of God from all eternity past, but he came. He was a born a man just as we. And the scripture that he quoted there in Luke chapter 4 were scriptures from Deuteronomy. And this tells us that he read the book of Deuteronomy. In fact, we can be sure that Deuteronomy was his favorite book. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, he quoted Deuteronomy more than any other book by a long shot. And Deuteronomy is very important. It's the summary. Chapter 32 of Deuteronomy, Moses' farewell address. We ought to look at that. But I've got some more things that I want to go into and share with you, brethren, about how that our mind gets washed with this Word. and renewed and regenerated by the Holy Ghost, and how vital and important this really is. Brethren, it's a shame that so many Christians experience so little blessing, and it always comes back to this word, brethren. You know, the Lord Yeshua Messiah went to some great lengths to secure the blessing for believers, and everything that Jesus accomplished at Calvary was done for us, for you and me. Yeshua laid down his life for his brethren, which is you and me. We're his brethren. He's not ashamed to call us his brethren if we are committed to do the will of the Father. And Yeshua was scourged. I mean, he had the flesh ripped off his back so that when you and I are sick, we might be healed. Now, Yeshua right now is seated at the right hand of the Father, and those stripes on his back are healed. But that healing for us was won at Calvary. It was part of the price that he paid. And healing is something that is provided for in the atonement and the price that he paid. But how is it going to be obtained? Like anything else you get from God, brethren, you get it by faith. And how do you get faith? You see how it always comes back to the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, there is healing, not just for our body, but for our soul as well. So, what does it take to have our mind renewed? What does it take to live differently? For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Everything that we experience in life is a result of our thinking. The battlefield is the mind. And I'm not talking about accidents and things that go beyond our control. I'm talking about our daily life. I'm talking about our jobs, what's going on at school, our marriages, whatever activities that we're involved in, the relationships that we have, our relatives, our family. Everything in our life is operating the way it is as a result of our thinking. As a man thinketh, so is he. It's in Proverbs 23:7. The circumstances that swirl around our life are a result, brethren, of our thinking. The word circumstances comes from circle, the circle in which we stand. And it refers to the stance that we have in the midst of this circle, what's going on around us. And it includes activities, where we're at, and the people that come into this circle of our life. And either the Bible is true or it's not. I want to tell you, Proverbs 23:7 is true. As a man thinketh, so he is. And if a man is what he thinks, then Lord, help us to re-examine our thoughts. We need help with our attitudes. Now, there are accidents, okay? There are things that happen beyond our control. But the vast majority, you and I, we do have a say-so in the vast majority of the things. And this is why the battlefield is the mind, because we do have a say-so when situations, people, things come into our life. And if we've experienced a tragedy, now we may not have anything to say about that tragedy, but we have a lot to say with how we deal with that tragedy. And if we do not learn to respond to that situation in the correct way, then it tends to rule our future, and it can ruin relationships. For instance, let's say, like me, in the past, I was a drunk before I met Jesus. I was a world-class record drunk at my young age. I mean, world-class, brethren. But I'll tell you this, the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit is enough to make us a new creation. Have I arrived? No. Jim is one big sinner. Y'all know that. And I'm going to die a redeemed sinner. That is my blessed hope. But there is progress going on. The power of God can change your life. It must, in fact, change your life. And we let God deal with this fear, because faith is the victory that overcomes our fear. And faith works by love, brethren. And this is why we need the Word of God again. Because people who think they are loving and they're not doing it with a foundation of truth, what they really have is feigned affection or natural human emotion, and it's really very far removed from love. Love has to be based on truth. And what is truth? Thy word is truth. Jesus Christ, whose name is called the Word of God, he is the truth personified. And it always comes back to the word, brethren. You see how it always, all of it, it always comes back to the word. So the present reality is not controlled by what happened in the past. That's why we forget the past. We can't change the past if we do want to. And that's why I love to ask Wally and I love to ask Mark if there's one thing they do that we all need to know about, because we constantly need to bring this to remembrance, you know, especially if it is a sin that we put under the blood. What an insult to God if we ever allow that to be dragged out from under the blood. We know any thought that brings a sin out from under the blood, a past sin put under the blood, cannot be from the Holy Ghost, because there's no record of it in heaven. So we know it's coming out of the pits, and we can't allow it. And we can't allow even another person to try and drag some sin out from under the blood. No, we can't allow that. We got to explain. That's an insult to God that we're simply not going to be able to allow. And, brethren, this is not a mystery. And I know these things seem so simple, but a lot of times it's concentrating on these basics where this mystery of the ages gets revealed. You see, the mystery of the ages is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And our God is Adonai Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. We know he's got the power to heal. Y'all were here one Sabbath when he did knee surgery on Betty. Brother, it's glorious. It's real. I've seen him heal the blind. I've seen him raise a dead man that the physician that practiced medicine 40 years, 3 hours later, was still in shock. It was such a miracle that God raised this dead man. You see, we need to have our minds washed with the Word and renewed with the Holy Ghost. If ye then be risen with Messiah, seek those things which are above, where Messiah sitteth on the right hand of God. You see, brethren, if we're born again, if we're washed by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Yeshua, and if we claim the name of Yeshua, then we are to seek those things which are above. And that means we set our sights on the rich treasures and joys of heaven. And I really have a problem when people tell me they're Christians today if they will not seek the things that are above, if they don't have this high regard and really treasure the Word of God. And that's why people look at your life and don't think you're saved. I'll tell you what, it's a hard thing for me to avoid making judgments, and only God can make that judgment. That's a judgment that we can't really make. But there are certain things that are evident. If you're saved, you got to love the Word of God. Jesus Christ, his name is called the Word of God. And if people don't take the time to seek the things above, I have to wonder about them. I'm concerned about them. And if you know Yeshua, his name is called the Word of God, you seek that rich treasure. And that doesn't mean you think about heaven all the time. No, that's not what it means. But what it does mean is that you think about God 24/7. The Holy Spirit is bringing to your remembrance whatsoever he has said. That's why it's so important to read the whole Bible through at least one time, cover to cover, so that you've got that full context of God. It is a consistent whole. I really just about go ballistic when these people come in and somehow they put a higher value on the New Testament. And nowadays we got a new bunch of them that are out there saying, well, I don't want any New Testament. Well, brethren, it's a consistent whole. You don't have any foundation or context for the New Testament without the Old Testament. And if you think you can understand the Old Testament without the New Testament, that's where the fullness of Revelation comes in. It is a consistent whole. Every word is the Word of God. And we are so blessed to be able to have the very Word of God in our hands. And we know that is an issue where we must rise up to stand and earnestly contend with anybody who is saying otherwise. Doesn't make any difference, Pope Poobah or what. We will rise up to stand and earnestly contend on that issue. And we're not talking about going through our days thinking about harps and angels and that sort of stuff. No, what we're thinking about is this Word of God. We have to be thinking about the things that are above, that which is eternal. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but the Word of God abideth forever. And we need to really continue to treasure this. And we seek this fellowship. You know, we don't go to the taverns. We don't go to the places where there is sin. Now, when God sends us out there, we go out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the power of Messiah, by His Holy Spirit, and we'll go out there where the sinners are. Jesus Christ died for sinners. We're redeemed sinners, and we will go out looking for Him, but we're not going to spend time in the tavern. No, we're not. There's other places to meet the sinners. Glory to God. So we set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. We set our mind on things above. And if we've been raised with Christ, we seek those things which are above. We seek those things by setting our mind on righteous, true, honest, and loving thoughts. And it means that if we're having an argument, instead of responding with some sort of negative thing, we just stop and we set our mind on godly things. We think what we can say to give glory to God. Now, there is a time when we will contend, and it has to be led by the Spirit. Now, y'all have seen it. There's been times when it's been by the Spirit, and there's other times that I've been in the flesh. And you guys can tell the difference. But it has to be more and more. And I'll tell you how it's going to come more and more. That's by going to the Word more and more. Because, brethren, faith is belief plus the Holy Ghost. And you will get that discernment of His voice more and more clear as you go to the Word. And I'm embarrassed sometimes how I miss God, but I bless God for the times that He does let me know clearly where these people are coming from. You've seen the object lessons that God has sent. There's different situations, and you have to trust that leading of the Holy Spirit. And the only way that comes, brethren, the only way I know how to communicate that to you, is it all gets back to the Word. And I know I sound like a broken record, but brethren, I don't know anything else to commend to anybody but the Word of God, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, whose name is called the Word of God. Everything that we can see, brethren, it's about to be shaken. And the only thing that you can grab hold of that is not going to be shaken, that will keep you standing in this evil day, and it is an evil day, is this Word of God, that our faith is based on God said so. Hallelujah. For you are dead, brethren. We need to reckon ourselves dead to this world. You are dead, and your life is hid with Messiah in God. Hallelujah. Oh, brethren, this is so awesome. When Messiah, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Listen, Messiah is going to appear one day, and we will appear with Him in glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I don't know about you, but when I appear with Christ in glory, I don't want to be the same that I was when I first got saved. Man, I was a mess. I'm still a mess. I don't want to be this mess. I want to be different. I want to grow. I want to be transformed by the power of God. Colossians 3 goes on to say, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Man, we want to get away from that stuff. Fornication is not just premarital sex. It includes habitual masturbation, pornographic magazines, pictures. Verse 6, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. We don't want to be like that. No, when He appears in glory, brethren, we will appear with Him in glory. We don't want to be like that. Verse 7, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them, but now you also put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Brethren, when the Lord first grabbed hold of me, I could curl the wallpaper off the wall with my normal speaking. It isn't that way. It isn't where it ought to be yet. But you see, when He appears, we're supposed to appear with Him in glory. You see, and it's not enough just to put off adultery. It also means that I've got to do something with my filthy attitude and my stinking thinking. It means that I've got to stop talking filthy. It means I've got to begin to have a good and right attitude. And it all comes back to the Word, brethren. What you put in your mind. Yeshua wants to transform our life completely, and the battlefield is the mind. And this is where we need to get our mind washed with the Word and renewed with the Holy Ghost. Colossians 3 goes on and says, lie not to one another. Brethren, truth is number one. It's before whatever else is first, because Jesus Christ is the truth. And Jesus, when he's talking to the Father, says, thy word is truth. It all comes back to it. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now here's the key. Put off the old and put on the new. I'm telling you, brethren, it is so simple. Jesus said you have to enter his kingdom as a child. These principles are so profound and they're so simple. You just put off the old and put on the new. And in between, brethren, is this renewing of the mind. You see, that's the in-between part of putting off the old and putting on the new. It's this renewing of the mind. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. That means that you can demonstrate it, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do we know the will of God? Read his word. He reveals his will so clearly in his word. Some things are so profoundly clear regarding the will of God. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. How's that? That's pretty clear, isn't it? What's the will of God? This is the will of God, even your sanctification. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Sometimes it's so clear. And brethren, you know, powerful prayer has to do with how God will be glorified. Powerful prayer is simply a matter of, will God hear me or not? All right, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he's not going to hear me. If I ask to gratify my lust, he isn't going to hear that. And if I pray outside of his will, he ain't going to hear that. But brethren, there's a broad field of things that God will be glorified in, where we can witness the exceeding greatness of his mighty power being manifest. How do you know the will of God? Read the word of God. Oh, brethren, I know I'm preaching to the choir. But brethren, how can we overdo this? And this is what we've got to tell other people who do not know this. And this is why it grieves my soul when we see how people poof in and poof out. Because one thing they know about the real great joy and great tribulation room, these people are going to be into the Word. Somehow they're going to be Word-focused. And, you know, just listening to sermons, that doesn't get it done. It's possible to hear sermons and people just continue to keep on living the way they always live. And hearing sermons is not what's going to change people's lives. But I'll tell you this, reading the Bible daily will change your life, because it's going to renew your mind. It's going to wash your mind, and it's going to get renewed by the Holy Ghost. And to renew your mind means to take off the old and put on the new. What does repentance mean? Repentance means to turn away from and to change your thinking. That's the key to repentance, changing our thinking. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but be a new and different person with this fresh newness in everything that you do and think. And then you'll learn from your own experience how his ways, the ways of Messiah, will really satisfy him. We are not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed. And Christians should be different from the world. And brethren, you guys are peculiar. And you're rare. You're beautiful, rare. Oh, bless God for you guys. I do bless God for you guys. But even sinners know that, brethren. They may be a heathen, they may not know anything, but they know that. And you see, if sinners see a form of godliness that denies the power of it, these sinners ain't going to want anything to do with it. They'll say, hey, don't talk to me until you get your own life straightened out. Isaiah 55, seek the Lord while you can find him. Call upon him now while he's near. Let the wicked man forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. We're to get rid of every thought of doing wrong. Return to the Lord, and he will have mercy. He will abundantly pardon. The way to turn to the Lord is through reading the Word. In order for you to draw close to God, it has to do with forsaking the wicked deeds. And Isaiah 55 is so important. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Ah, brethren, hallelujah, you see how it all ties together, don't you? Yeah, we're seated with him. We set our thoughts on things above. When we have a thought of fear, we reject it, and we think thoughts of faith. If we have a thought of lust, we should reject it and think thoughts of holiness. When we have thoughts of lies, we should reject it and think thoughts of honesty. When we have thoughts of worldliness, we should reject it and think thoughts of godliness. When we have thoughts of laziness, we should reject it and think thoughts of discipline. We reject thoughts of evil and think thoughts of good. And it's not enough just to hear these things. We must take an active part in taking these wrong thoughts captive to the obedience of Messiah and put purpose in our mind to think right thoughts. And you, brethren, hath he quickened, given life, abundant life. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein you, times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conduct in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Don't forget that, brethren. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. You see, our minds can begin to desire, and then you will to do it with your flesh, see? And it is possible not only to carry out the desire of the flesh, but to also carry out the desires of the mind. And we can't let this subtle foe, this adversary that we have, trick us into believing that if unclean thought comes into our mind, that we can play with it. No, we can't. Now, brethren, it's not sin to be tempted. But what we do is we rebuke it. We cast it down. We reject the old way of thinking. We reject that lust. And we begin to think of love and godliness and honesty and truth. And we read the Bible. See, this is the key to it all, brethren. To find out what the thoughts of God are. His thoughts are not our thoughts, unless we read more of the Word. And then our thoughts begin to become more like His thoughts. It all comes back to this, brethren. We read the Bible to find out what to put off and what to put on. And that's how this transforming of the mind process takes place. What to put off and what to put on. We read about the things that we can do. We read about the things that we should do. We read about laying hands on the sick and watch them recover. We read about the power of God, and we begin to put it in practice. Oh, brethren, you ever go down on a trip and take the wrong road in the wrong direction? When you figure it out, you know what you got to do? You don't keep traveling the same way. And see, it's the same way with us in anything about life. Carnal thinking. Carnal, carny means meat. So we're meat-headed, okay? We don't want to think that way anymore. We don't look at things the way we used to look at them. And we don't say we can't change, because that denies the Word of God, which says we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. And we just need to get our minds washed with the Word and renewed with the Holy Ghost. And you see, if this thought process that brought the bondage is dealt with, the bondage is going to be broken, see? We begin thinking differently. And the different way of thinking results in a different way of acting. We make changes, you see. The Word of God must change our life, and it does change our life. And brother, you can look at any backslider that ever backslid. It doesn't make any difference what they backslide into. The common denominator will always be this. They left off reading that Word. Because the Holy Ghost, first job he does is convict us of sin. You can't read very far. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm a big sinner, and I always get these heart shots. Oh, wow. And see, it begins in the mind. You make up your mind to quit smoking dope. You make up your mind to quit drinking alcohol. you make up your mind to quit going to places which are going to stimulate your lust. And you see, as long as these things are in your heart, and as long as you entertain them and fantasize them about in your mind, it may have a pleasure, but what it does is it brings wreckage and ruin, and it does it to you. Brethren, I'm telling you, it's absolutely true. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh, so he is. The battlefield is the mind. And now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Messiah Yeshua, that you may with one mind, all brethren, this is what we're looking after. This is where we want to go, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. You see, we not only glorify God with our mouth, but we also glorify God with our mind. It is our faith that honors God. That's what honors God, truly. I hope you see that. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it's not enough to glorify God with our mouth. If we go through life with deadly, ungodly thoughts, we got to get rid of those thoughts and begin to think like God thinks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, this process of growing in Christ and growing in this understanding of the mystery of the ages, a big part of it is through this renewing of our mind. And brethren, it really, unfortunately, it doesn't come through the laying on of hands. It's not really by a supernatural deliverance at the altar, though deliverance is important. We need to get these demons cast out of us. But that's not the continual, sustained, growing process, and the battlefield truly is in the mind. But our growth in understanding of this mystery of the ages and coming to more fullness in this faith and the knowledge of this mystery of Christ in us, the hope of glory, it is not really all just about casting out demons. No, not by a long stretch, brethren. That's an important part of it, but that's not the whole ball of wax. And the main thing, the ongoing thing, is the Word of God. Now, if a demon is cast out, that does help and aid our growth. But the Bible says that if a person has a demon cast out, if there's no growth connected with it, that newfound freedom allows 7 more demons, worse than the first, to come back. I hope you understand this, brethren. See, when we get a demon cast out, we've got to fill up that space. And we've got to fill it up with the Word of God. Otherwise, you're going to end up bringing forth wind is what you're going to do, and you could see the situation get worse. We've got to deal with that ground. And when that demon's cast out, we've got to fill it up. We've got to fill it up with the Word. And again, the battlefield is the mind, and we need our minds washed with the Word and renewed with the Holy Ghost, or it could get worse than it was at first. Now, there are people who have received supernatural deliverance, and you know what? They're no better off of it as a result. The way you get better off in Messiah Yeshua is by renewing your mind. And I hope you don't miss this, brethren. This is so important. You know, I push deliverance hard. I believe it should be at the leading edge of what's done in the church. And you are the church. I believe it should be on the leading edge. I've been in deliverance ministry for 25 years. But I got to tell you this, brethren. It is not automatic. You don't just grow because you've got a demon cast out of you. No. You don't coast. You get that demon cast out. You need to
fill up that void.
You've got to do the will and work of God. And if you want to walk in the Spirit, what does it take? What decides whether we live in the flesh or whether we live in the Spirit? Brethren, I got to tell you, it's reading the Bible. It really does. How else does sanctification come? Does it come by praying long prayers? Have you ever prayed and got feeling real spiritual? As soon as you rub shoulders with people, all of a sudden, it wasn't long until you got this bad attitude back, right? And I hear these people all the time, well, I just love Jesus. Oh, I just love Jesus. And you know what? These same people will say that there's, well, these other Christians, I just can't stand them. I just separate myself all the time from them. Well, what's wrong with this picture? I'll tell you something, brother. Romans 8:28 works all the time, and Jude 19 never works. No. There is no justification at all in the Word of God for you to separate yourself. No, there is no justification. You flunked a meekness test somewhere along the line. and you've got lifted up in vanity and pride. That's the real truth. If you want the truth, that's where it's at. Now, how can you say you love God, whom you cannot see, and not love your brother, whom you do see, who was made in the image and likeness of God? See, brethren, it just don't fly. No, it don't. It don't fly, brethren. How can you say you're submitted to God when you will not submit to God-ordained authorities set up for you to follow? How can you say that? Brethren, it don't fly. And what is the guarantee that you can be changed? Here it is right here in Romans 8:5. For they who live according to the flesh do set their mind on the things of the flesh. But they who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. I want to tell you something. Part of walking in the flesh, you will think you're right. That's slam dunk guaranteed. If you're going to walk in the flesh, you will think you're right. But if any man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know it. That's 1 Corinthians 8:2. And there are things we have to know. Well, how do we know something? We know something when we read it in the Word of God. That's how we know. See, it is not religious routines that cause us to grow in Messiah. It is the condition of our mind. That's where the battlefield's at, brethren. We need this renewing of the mind. Many people go to church their whole life, and they never change. They're still just carnal as they were on day one. They practice the same habits. They got the same anger that they can't ever get control of. You know, a lot of times people think I'm angry, and a lot of times I do get angry. And I think to a certain point, it's godly to be angry about the things that God's angry about. But there's a lot of times that I might be pretty loud, and I'm under total self-control of the Spirit. There are times and places for everything. Now, I overdo it on the one extreme, and I'm working on that. I need more gentleness. I know that's my short suit. But you see, going to church is not enough. And just reading the Bible really isn't enough. And saying hallelujah isn't enough. We got to set our mind on the things above. And we got to take control of this discipline of our mind. We can't allow our mind to do what it wants to do. For they who live according to the flesh do set their mind on the things of the flesh. But they who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. If a Christian is walking in the flesh, it's due to an error in their thinking. As a man thinketh, so is he. Brethren, you just can't get away from it. That's the Word of God. As a man thinketh, so is he. If spiritual thoughts bring you into this assembly, you will get more spiritual thoughts. And if you get more spiritual thoughts, your condition is going to be better. It happens when you do come and you're interested in renewing your mind. It's the only way that we ever will change, brethren. It's the only way that we will experience this blessed life that comes from getting our minds renewed, getting them washed with the Word and renewed with the Holy Ghost. Now, the negative side of this is a whole lot more automatic, and that's why I get concerned whenever I don't see a brother for a while. The positive side requires more determination. We've got to be a lot more aggressive to do the right things than we do to do the wrong things. The wrong things are just natural. I mean, all you got to do wrong is do nothing, and you'll be doing wrong before you know it. Because a disciple is a disciplined one, and it requires a discipline. And the main place that we got to apply this discipline is in the mind. If you let yourself go, you're going to move in a negative direction. That's just the way it happens. Things left to themselves deteriorate, and we have to take an active role. That's what a disciple is, a disciplined one. There's a determination and a motivation to renew our mind. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death. And when the Bible uses that word death, it's not using the word as a person normally thinks about it. Death in the Bible means separation. You see what's wrong with brethren who separate themselves? Brethren, this is such a serious thing. I don't know why people do it, but it's happening more and more all the time. See, when a person dies, the spirit is separated from the body. And the Bible says those who do not know Yeshua Messiah may be walking around eating and drinking, but they are separated from the life of God. They're spiritually dead. In that story of the prodigal son, he was breathing and walking around, but the scripture says the father's testimony was my son was dead. He was cut off from the provision of the father's house. And there are Christians who are sons and daughters of God, but they are cut off from the blessings of God. And so sadly, brethren, we see today people are cutting themselves off and they don't know. That's so sad what Jesus says about this Laodicean church age that we live in now, brethren. That's us he was talking about. And he says, you think you're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and you don't know. Oh, man, they think they're spiritual.
Oh, yeah, part of walking in the flesh is you're going to think you're right. You're spiritual.
Well, they think they're right in doing this thing. They think they're right in separating themselves. Oh, man. I want to ask you, is it possible to be born again and not live or look like a Christian? Is it possible to be born again and not experience the things of God? Is it possible to be born again and not have the hand of God active in one's life? Is it possible to be born again and not have the anointing of God on you? Brethren, the blessing of God, if it's not seen in our life, the provision of heaven which Jesus secured for his own brethren, if it's not evident, they may be sons and daughters of God, but something's real radically wrong when they're cut off from the blessings of God. Once you're born again, you begin to seek those things which are above. We begin this process of renewing our mind so that we may be transformed. And what shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing will separate us from the love of God except your own choice to walk away from it. You see, that's the thing that the parable of the prodigal son teaches so profoundly. Jesus says it twice so that we sure wouldn't miss it. But the testimony of the Father, nobody could take that son out of the Father's hand, but the testimony of the Father twice, once when he first came home and the other one when he dealt with the older brother that was such a mess. The testimony of the Father is, my son was dead. My son was lost. There's nothing that we can do to make God love us. He's already done that. And there's nothing that we can do to make God not love us. But while we are yet sinners, God sent Messiah to die for us. Brethren, that's a love bigger than our little pea brains can handle. That's why we keep looking at the cross. And that's why the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God unto salvation. You see, God will always love us regardless of what we do or what we don't do. But does this mean God will love me even if I'm carnal and living in sin? Look, brethren, God hates the sin. Now, he may still love us, but he hates that sin. And we have to understand, he's a holy God. Now, what can separate us from the love of God? Only our own stupid choice to turn away. There's nothing deeper in life than the love of God. The love of God is unconditional unless we choose to turn away from him. You see, that